help me. Do you have any questions?
Mr. Robinson.
Thank you, Senator. My name is Jim Robinson. I'm Vice President of the Anchorage School District and on the Board of Directors of Hope Cottage, is a residential treatment facility that has clients from all over the state, many of which are profoundly physically handicapped and all of which are educated in the Anchorage School District. I'm here on behalf of my board, and Mr. Gorsuch, I think, will be testifying shortly also, is also a member of the board, supporting this bill. Though I'm proud of Anchorage School District as being an aggressive leader in this area, many of the needs are yet to be met. And anticipating your question, Senator Parr, I think that you could fully fund this bill and not come close to funding all the needs that the state will, I think, legally and morally address over the next 5 or 10 years for the special clients that the bill is aimed at. Anchorage has on its own, I think, and may be the only one in the state, established a summer school precisely for the reasons that were discussed earlier. You have clients that do not have therapy for 2 or 3 months. They don't go play Little League baseball all summer, and they come back stiff and tired, and literally take 2 or 3 months to get them back just to where they were when you lost them in June. We recognized that problem, started it on our own, and I was hoping that our chief financial officer was supposed to be here today with the figures, and I think we'll be happy to provide them to the committee, but they will show that Anchorage provides a disproportionately larger share of its local support to special education. Another area that, for instance, to use as an example this year, again, not because we are funded by the state, but we allocated it ourselves, we provided additional speech therapists at the secondary level. This was necessary because if you look back 10 years ago, the service wasn't even provided. But a speech therapist works 2 or 3 or 4 schools, depending on your funding, and it works well in the elementary school because you can group them with 5 or 6 kids together. But when you get into the high school area, the secondary area, the kids, I'm sure Senator Stimson would be very familiar with this, are simply embarrassed to go into a group and work on their speech problems. So at that level, you have the idea of funding sitting around a room with 5 or 6 students. While it may work well, elementary level, does not work well at the secondary level. And again, we recognized that and added it to our budget this year. And I've got many other examples, but the 2 years that I've been on the school board, I've had to say no to people more than I have on any other time in my life. And I appreciate the correction that was done in the foundation formula last year, and I certainly say no less than I did before, as well as my colleagues. But the needs are tremendous, and I think that we're kidding ourselves in feeling that that it's been funded on a dollar-by-dollar basis. It's a very expensive, costly process, one that's imposed on us by law, but also one that that I think we should step up to very, very clearly. And again, we have, in Anchorage at least, have appointed an advisory advocacy panel of parents and special ed that range from the severely and profoundly handicapped to the gifted. And let me tell you that they're advocates, one and all, and have been very aggressive in their challenges and their advocacy of their cause. And believe me, they do talk to us, and we've been able to allocate, you know, much of our funds to this program, but the needs have not been met. The only other thing I would like to add is, at least in Anchorage's position, we already fund some of the things such as the summer school, and it's already part of our budget. So when this bill passes, it would establish some money that I guess could be looked as being surplus as to Anchorage, because we've already made the decision then to use the summer school as an example to fund it, no matter whether this bill passes or not. Now, and I don't speak for my board on this, because there may be some difference of opinion, but there may be people that are interested in having that money used for tax relief. I personally would rather have it allocated into the special ed fund for other programs, so additional speech educator or speech therapist is one example. It's one clear area that we haven't met all the needs. But that is an issue, I guess, that reasonable people could do, one that the committee ought to be aware of. But I'm sure beyond this one lag year, there would be overwhelming interest and agreement to dedicate all the money to special ed. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Lee Gorsuch. I also serve on the Anchorage School Board. I don't have any prepared comments, but I did want to share with you some of the financial realities that the Anchorage School District faces in regard to providing services for the children who require special education. By and large, our total budget this last or current fiscal year runs somewhere in the area around $18.8 million for the special education programs. We receive about $11.2 million as a reimbursement from the state. The difference represents about $7.6 million. By and large, our local share that we raise through local property taxes, on the average, it varies from year to year, but usually comes out to be about 25%. If we were to get the same 25% for special education, then we should be receiving something like $4.4 million more than we currently receive. The fact that we don't receive sort of an equivalent amount of aid for the special education programs means that a disproportionate amount of money from the local property taxes goes into supporting special education. By and large, our district average is that we're spending about $3,900, almost $4,000 per student, of which approximately $1,000 comes from local effort. In the case of our elementary programs, which are where we have our most cost-effective delivery of services, our average cost is $3,500 per student, and the local contribution to support the elementary program runs about $574 as a local effort. In special education, our district costs run approximately $7,500 per student, and the local share to support that $7,500 per student comes out to be more like $2,500. Mr. Chairman, the realities are in the Anchorage School District that we spend five times as much of our local tax dollars supporting the special education programs as we do for the elementary program, and 2.5 times as much of our property taxes and local efforts support them as it does for the district average. In part, Mr. Chairman, these are levels of service that impose very onerous reporting requirements. A lot of paperwork is created by the bureaucracy that's imposed through the current system of delivery. And it was the feeling of our administration at the Anchorage School District that a much more effective and efficient program could be rendered if we were able to eliminate the various levels of service. And if we could also get state aid in proportion to the actual cost of providing the service comparable to what we're providing to the regular students. And that is essentially something in the area of 1/4 of what we receive as our local effort would also apply to the levels of service required for special education. To do otherwise, Mr. Chairman, tends to put the parents and the children of special education in the awkward position of saying that they can only receive the equivalent amount of educational opportunity if it comes at the expense of the regular program. Yet the state has adopted the position that a 25% local effort is appropriate for the Anchorage School District, then why doesn't it follow that a 25% effort in supporting special education would also be a fair distribution of the balance of the cost of providing education for special education? So the Anchorage School District is in strong support of the bill and would encourage the committee to give it its fair consideration, and we stand prepared to provide any of this financial backup information that might be helpful to the committee in looking at the disproportionate amount of local taxes that go into supporting special education.
I would very much appreciate receiving just handwritten notes would be fine, the figures you were giving. I might reply Mr. Gorsuch and Mr. Robinson to say one thing that I don't know if the state feels that 25% local effort is appropriate, and the last time we had an overall funding bill, there was certainly a lot of concern, I know on my part, because Fairbanks had somewhat similar problems to yours. And the last funding bill did provide a 51% increase in your funding over a two-year period, which is not exactly a little bit. I mean, your budget this coming year from the state alone is $94,454,000. So I think there has been some adjustment of that inequity, that 25% you were expected, you thought the state expected you to contribute. You've got a 19% increase for the year we're in now, a 27% increase for next year, and that accumulates to 51%. So you're not, you know, I think that some of your concern that go-ahead has been perhaps taken care of. I understand what you're saying, that you're contributing more to your local tax dollars to support special ed than you are the other programs. And perhaps with what all districts should be doing. I do think that Anchorage has certainly done more locally than the other district and state with it in terms of what you contribute, percentage. In fact, that chart on the wall shows the percentage, I think, that contributed by local districts, I believe, and you're certainly next to the highest, only Highlands and North Slope Borough. And so I think the local Anchorage people certainly have been willing to support their school. Any questions anyone has for Mr. Robinson or Mr. Garcich?
Mr. Chairman, I might just add that we're very appreciative of the support that the Alaska legislature has shown towards the public schools, and we in Anchorage have certainly been a direct beneficiary of your time, attention, and committing additional resources. We're also very proud of the special education program we offer. We think it's a high-quality program. We think we can actually provide a better service for less money if we are able to avoid this differentiation in levels of service. So quite apart from the financial implications and whatever you see possible in terms of providing for any additional adjustments, the level of service we think would create a more effective and efficient service if we could do away with that differentiation.
Let me just come back and say one thing. I said all these nice things about Anchorage, right? See, I'm the only person in the committee not from Anchorage. It's like I say this. But I made a reference a while ago to money being carried over and they hadn't hired a psychologist and so forth. Well, that was about 3 or 4 years ago before Mr. Robinson was on the board. I don't know if you were or not.
Lee and I came on the same
board. So you weren't on the board, so you can take no responsibility. But that was a year in which the Anchorage School District carried over at the end of the year $10 million. We had a teleconference with the Anchorage area on special education, on the requirements for 94-142, and those are some of the complaints we got, that there wasn't a psychologist, they didn't have a psychologist, et cetera, but they carried over $10 million that year. It made it a little difficult to understand. All we could do was say to the people who talked, your school board carried over $10 million, you go back and ask them why they couldn't hire this psychologist, right? Obviously you can't run down to the last dollar, but when somebody comes in and says the services aren't there, they've got a good sized hunk of money left over, then there's certainly a question as to why. And we understand that you can't spend more than you've got and that you can't calculate it down to the last dollar. Nobody expects that. But large, I think your carryover this year was only about $7 million. This last full year we have figures for it.
I think this year will even be significantly lower. But I mean, that is a very fair criticism and one that we've tried to be sensitive to. Your earlier example of $500,000.
I just threw up an out.
It's a harder one for us because that's less than half of the.
No, it was actually Anchorage District, and the figure that year was $10 million.
Sure.
And I just threw the $500,000 out. But
right.
As an example, that was what it actually happened. That was either 77 or 78. I'm not certain which. So 4 year terms on the board.
Mr. Chairman, the forward funding is a great help to us because it means that in the event that the we're trying to prepare a financial plan to know what kind of revenue sources we have. The municipality adopts our budget and sets the mill rates essentially in May and in June, so that any additional funds we might receive because of the legislature's supplemental appropriation, unless we deliberately go in and raise our budget, those funds actually become part of the surplus carry forward for the following year. I might also add that even though the district winds up having a carry forward, it goes into direct reduction of the local effort in the following year. And so it basically becomes a replacement of local property taxes.
Yes, sir, except let me point out two things. First, the forward funding bill is coming up Monday in this committee. So we're hoping that will be through in time for you to be able to plan on it for the year after next. Next year's money, as I said, is already determined. Other thing is, of course, I can see what you're saying there, but perhaps if the local assembly has been willing to contribute that money, perhaps it shouldn't go back into reducing property taxes. Perhaps it ought to be used for the purposes which the assembly appropriated. It seems more proper way to do that.
Mr. Chairman, the point I wanted to make was that in some ways it shows the fiscal constraint of the school district, because what we could have done is spent that other $10 million in that particular year, or if we're looking at a $1 million surplus this year, we have the option of going ahead and spending it by getting the Assembly to authorize a budget increase. But our position has been that we'd rather hold the surplus and carry it forward the following year than fall victim to hurry up and spending the money just because you're going to lapse the money at the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah, well, it's always bad fiscal policy to come along, you know, a month before you end your fiscal year and throw the money away, but you know, perhaps some of that could be used during the whole year. And I'm not saying you shouldn't carry over anything. That's obviously impractical for a district the size of yours, no question about that. But I think that, you know, certainly I think it should be some reasonably small figure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity to comment. I will bring over I have a type.
Oh, it's fine. If you have it, if not, we'll just take, you know, Xerox a copy of what you've got there. We don't really care. I would like to have the figures. Okay.
Thank you again for the opportunity.
Thank you. Is anyone else willing to testify on this bill? We have not taken up that proposed amendment yet, so if you want to propose that, Ms.
Thank you.
Ms. Cooksey.
I'm Bob Cooksey with NEA Alaska, speaking in favor of the concept of 365. As I work with teacher groups throughout the state, one of the biggest frustrations that we encounter with classroom activity is this whole special ed arena. And in fact, it seems to be the highest burnout rate of teachers that we have. Frustrations with the paperwork, frustrations with the delay in getting kids into programs. I guess basically they're saying having a tough time actually getting the service to the kids. This kind of feedback has been coming for quite some time, and I was in hopes that the foundation program changed last year would help relieve some of those problems. We still get the complaints. Just came out of Cordova recently where the teacher is really just ready to throw up hands with some of these problems. Some of the problems, as I see them, should be taken care of administratively or through some kind of assistance or in some way relieving teachers so they can work with the program and the kids. This may not be the total solution, but maybe it would help. It's additional money, and I realize some people find a problem with that, saying, so we fund it, we don't know how the money's going to be spent. I can't guarantee that either. Short of that, maybe there needs to be some mandate that the teaching can happen instead of having the teachers do some of the other work. Two specific recommendations on this bill. One has to do with, like on line 12, for each 15 pupils.
That's already been discussed
okay.
By Mr. Holt.
Good enough, thanks. And the other being, down somewhere following line 16, special services, I would encourage you to include in-service training for teachers. The regular classroom teacher who's having to deal with a special ed situation maybe needs some special training or some additional help so that they can maintain their sanity or do a better job with the kids. I don't have a specific recommendation where it should be cranked in, but just so the special services could include that kind of thing. And that would conclude my remarks at this time.
Ms. Cooksey, do a teacher going through school now in the last few years, part of the normal curriculum, right? Not getting a degree in special ed, but just a simple bachelor of education degree or whatever. Do they get any training in handling handicapped children?
Specifically, I can't answer that. I have participated in a review of some of the University of Alaska teacher training programs, and a person could have completed those programs at that time without having had special ed training. I'm not sure what the latest is because I've not reviewed the program now for about
a few years ago. That was certainly the indication that the average teacher did not get any training at all, and yet when you mainstream kids here, they had four, depending on what it was, and no training in handling them. So your recommended amendment would at least give in-service training for those teachers.
Yes.
Should we also mandate that some of the credits that the teachers have to earn to keep their certificates alive should be for handling special ed kids?
I would discourage that specific mandate because it might not apply to everyone, but on the other hand, there may be a need.
You know, why should the teacher who has to have, was it 6 credits every 6 years?
6 credits every 5 years.
Every 5 years. I mean, why should that teacher go off and take a course in basket weaving or, mental gymnastics instead of taking a course which is directly related to the teaching profession, and they aren't really required to do that at present, are they?
They're not required to do that at present, and I would hesitate to encourage a specific mandate, because the same then could become the issue with bilingual, or as we've had the case had in the past, certain senators have said there must be Alaska history present. I'm not sure where the end would
you
be.
In the curriculum, you mean, though, there. You don't mean they're required the teachers go off to take courses in Alaska history.
You're right. The thing I could see could happen there, if we mandated that, we might find the person has greater need. They may be assigned to something, and there's a need for the 6 hours to be spent on something else, you know, greater need at that time.
Well, I understand that. The only thing is, you know, that what we're saying is that after all, teachers are on salary scales, and the scale of their pay goes up according to education and experience, correct?
Yes.
That's a standard way to handle it. We're willing to fund those extra pay increases. It's only possibly only fair that we should also require that those that training be in an area which is serving a useful public purpose too.
Yes, and in fact,
I realize many teachers might not like to do that. That's a different issue.
In a number of cases, there have been agreements between the teacher groups and school boards that for this advanced learning schedule, that the credits must be approved prior to the advancement.
That's been some of the negotiated contracts.
That would begin to address what you're talking about, though it would not necessarily be special ed.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
And another thing, if it were mandated that the hours of 6 hours must be special ed, I guess I wonder how that would fit into the in-service training that might go on within the district, which could serve the same training purpose.
Well, yeah, just need to make it clear. I'm not objecting to the inclusion of in-service training, but I think you would probably agree that that's usually going to be inadequate for the needs.
Well, some of the in-service training programs that I've participated in, I would agree. I would hope that we can do more and a better job. I suppose I would see it as at least a movement.
Yeah, it would be certainly a step in that direction, but I think the director would all recognize it's probably going to be inadequate and not really make that teacher that able to handle handicapped kids in service training. Any other questions for Mr. Cooksey? Yeah,
Bob, we heard your position on mandating in-service training. How would you also feel, in view of what we've been hearing here, that interruption of training is the critical factor trying to be accomplished, at least one of them? How about excluding special ed teachers from the teacher movement as a whole?
Exclude special ed teacher from teacher movement as a whole? Teacher movement being...
You don't have the right to strike. No interruption in special ed education.
I would probably feel the same about that as I would if excluding a math teacher or PE teacher.
No. In generalization, the regular student has the ability to make up time. The special ed one does not.
Well, I think it's fair to say that speaking for the organization, that they would clearly feel that special ed teachers should be treated as other teachers in terms of organizing, the right to be represented.
Oh, they can. Just as we do with those that are conscientious objectors because of religious grounds of not being mandated into a union.
The thing that you folks have been working on and you put a lot of work on, which I feel would totally negate the need for the strike, is the impasse resolution. And once you put that thing in place, it seems that there will be a need for the cutting off the services that you may be suggesting. And I look forward to having that happen.
Good recovery. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman.
I gotta go. But you don't plan on taking action on this?
I don't think so. Just 1 second. I want to see if anybody else.
I don't have any objections to moving it, but we might want to make a couple of amendments.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. We have some amendments proposed. Is anyone else waiting to testify on Senate Bill 365? Okay. You need to go, Senator. I would suggest that the bill be up Monday. Get the amendments before that time.
Yeah. Yeah, we're ready.
Terry?
I want to limit the...